Welcome to Pastor Bill's Classroom. This study is in the Acts of Jesus, Lesson 38, Discouragement.
Welcome back to our midweek study in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 18, and we have used Acts as a jumping off place for the previous three studies, midweek studies at least, just considering this whole issue of evolution versus creationism. And I hope that was informative, and it was definitely a hiatus, and we're going to come back to Acts, even though I say that. To say this, I really don't want you to open the book of Acts. I want you to open the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. We're going to be getting to that in just a second because of the topic that I want to speak to you on, which is bubbling up out of the text of Acts, chapter 18. But it's the topic of discouragement. And I think it's a topic where we are. I mean, it just is where we are in the Bible. But it's also, what an important time to talk about that. A lot of discouragement going on this roundabout here at the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, and for multiple reasons, there is discouragement, and discouragement is such an important topic because it's no respecter of persons. One of the things that makes it so horrible is that everybody's susceptible to it. You know, it's not like it's a universal issue, no matter who you are, and reminded of individuals of very high caliber in the scriptures who were plagued at times. Watch this. Here's Numbers chapter 11. Verse 15. Now, this is Moses, one of the greatest men in the entire Bible, much less the Old Testament. And so look at what it says. So if here's he speaking to God. So if you are going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once. It doesn't say he's discouraged, but I'm thinking that's pretty discouraged. I don't know about you. And if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. He's pretty low. And it may shock you about Moses. You need to read a little bit more about his life then, if that shocks you, because he had a lot of low moments. I mean, he had a very difficult ministry. So there's Moses. Here's Joshua. He's immediate successor. Joshua chapter 7, verse 7. Here's Joshua speaking. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we've been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan." I mean, his whole job is to take them into the promised land, and now here he is, discouraged. And we appreciate this, at least I do, because, these were regular guys. They weren't any kind of supernatural individuals. Now, they did some supernatural stuff because God did it through them, but actually, they're just regular human beings just like us who had their low moments. And here's two of them. Here's a third one, Elijah. Now, of course, Moses and Elijah are the two representatives of the entire Old Testament. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And so I've already shown you Moses' discouragement. Look at Elijah, sort of similar to, or if not identical, to Moses' situation. He went, this is talking about Elijah after a discouraging day. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Like I said, Moses did the same thing. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Well, he's no better, but he's no worse. I mean, he's just like the rest of them, and he's just like the rest of us. A discouraged person. And we're going to find the same thing true about Paul here in Acts 18, even though we're not going to read it, but I'm going to refer to your knowledge or memory of what's taking place here in Acts 18. I mean, Paul no doubt was same kind of discouraging circumstances and difficulties that he experienced there. And just let's be reminded of what's happened there in chapter 17 and verses chapter 18 of Acts. So Paul has been jailed, first of all, in Philippi. He's beaten along with Silas and jailed, driven out of Thessalonica and then driven out of Berea, laughed out of town in Athens. It's kind of where we were ended last time with him speaking to the Areopagus there, the gathering of these men who wanted to hear nothing but stuff every single day. And then he arrives in Corinth, which is practically the center of sin of the Roman Empire. It's kind of like Sin City. It's like the Vegas of the Roman Empire. Of course, there was paganism was everywhere, lots of sin everywhere, but nothing like Corinth. Corinth was just really something else. So he goes there to start a new mission in Corinth, and you talk about a place to be discouraged. Some of the things that happened there, among other things, the Temple of Aphrodite was on the Acropolis there, had on average 1,000 prostitutes who would walk the street at dusk, and on the bottom of their sandals, they had these hobnails driven in, and they spelled out words, and the word that it would spell out was, "Follow me." So you go out in the dust in the evening, and you see this footprint that says, "Follow me." Well, it was a prostitute leading you back to her quarters up there on the Acropolis. And so he's going to go to that kind of place and start a church. Well, he did. He really did. First and Second Corinthians is written to the church. He started in such a godless place and not exactly the most encouraging place for ministry, I can assure you. And additionally, he had, of course, there at his old nemesis, which he had had all the way through, which, of course, were the Jews breathing down his neck. And all of this is a recipe, of course, for discouragement. And we're not guessing here. It's not a matter of, well, we think Paul was discouraged. I mean, he comes out and tells us. Look at his own testimony to the Corinthian church, talking about how he was when he was there starting that church. Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Take a look at it. He says, I was with you. Again, speaking to the Corinthian church about his ministry there. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Is that your idea who Paul was? You know, we take these Bible characters like a Moses or Elijah or a Paul, and we sort of turn them into, I don't know, supernaturals in some way. Like they're better, different maybe than us. They just, the stuff that happens to us didn't happen to them, and they don't have the, it's not, they're not affected, and they were just unflappable and all that. And I'm not sure where you're getting those ideas from, but they're not from the Bible, because the Bible's real clear. These are just regular guys. Paul was just a regular person. He had his bad days, and here he is confessing about that to the church that he started there in Corinth. Like I said, it was a difficult spot. And here's Acts 18. I didn't have you turn there, but here's Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. I mean, look at what happens here. He's so discouraged that he needs encouragement, and the Lord has to come and do it. It says, the Lord said to Paul in the night visions, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in the city. Multiple things there that could cause discouragement. We're going to see those things, fear and other things and circumstances, and just being beat down over days and weeks and months of ministry of not a lot of fruit can certainly bring a person, as it did Paul, to the point of discouragement. So I want to speak to you today about discouragement, and there's just some background there to begin with. But I want us to go, as I said, to the book of Nehemiah. And if you would turn with me there, if you haven't already, like I said, we're studying Acts, but I want you to turn to Nehemiah just simply because it's the subject of discouragement. It's so clearly dealt with there, both the causes of discouragement and also the remedies for discouragement. It's not exactly an exhaustive list, but it's a pretty good list, as we're going to see here, the things that happened to this man, Nehemiah, and to the Jews as they try to rebuild the city, the walls and the gates of their city. And man, discouragement is wreaking havoc on their lives. And so let's take a look at them here in Nehemiah. First of all, we're going to consider the causes of discouragement as they bubble up out of the text. And they're not in any particular order other than we're just going to, as we come across them in the scriptures, I should say, is the order we're going to deal with them. But these, not any one of them are more or less or greater influence or cause of discouragement, but I would say any one of them by themselves can cause just tremendous discouragement in our lives. And as I read this, I can't help but read between the lines of our circumstances over this past year and the year we're headed into. And certainly the causes of discouragement are definitely here with us, as it was for Nehemiah. And also we have an option, and we should be choosing an option of the remedy. So first of all, let's consider the first cause, as it comes up out of the text, as I said here, of discouragement, which is ridicule. Nehemiah chapter 4, look with me there in verses 1 through 3. Like I said, they're rebuilding these walls, and Nehemiah's returned to the city to oversee this project, and he's just burdened by God to get this done. But he's leading a bunch of people who have been in discouragement for a long time. Part of the reason is because their wall's broken down. Notice, it came about that when Sanballat, he's not a friend, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews, and he spoke in the presence, like I said, here we go, ridicule. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned one? Here we're getting a glimpse, I believe, into one of the reasons, or probably one of the main reasons, why the Jews hadn't done anything up until this time. They'd been more than 70 years without walls. and without gates, so effectively without protection, and vulnerable to the people around them, including this guy, Sanballat. And here's part of the reason. They've been ridiculed. He goes on in verse 3, to Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down. So, wow, ridicule. Ever been ridiculed? Especially been ridiculed for doing the right thing as these guys were doing. It's a tough thing to endure, and Paul had to, of course, endure it from the Jews. Being ridiculed for your faith can easily equal growing discouraged. Easily. Maybe it's not a verbal assault. Maybe it's just the feeling of this that people think you're foolish and that you're dumb and that you're out of touch because you hold strongly to this stuff that you can't see and like I said, scientifically can't prove as we've been looking at here in our study of creationism. Someone has said that ridicule is the language of the devil. Now here we have Sanballat speaking on behalf and Tobiah, on if you will, in the life of Nehemiah and the life of the Jews. The language of the devil they're speaking, and as someone said, most will stand bravely when shot at, but will cower in humility and brokenness when laughed at. You're being laughed at? You're being ridiculed? It can cause discouragement. It really can. Let's look at the second cause of discouragement here, continuing in verses 7 and 8. It's threats. Threats. In this case, it's physical, but it doesn't have to be that. Notice, let's keep reading. It says, now it came about that when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repairs of the walls in Jerusalem went on, and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. So it's already said they were angry, now they're even more angry. And all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause a disturbance in it. So here we go. Now, was it a real or was it a threat? Actually, if we don't read any further, it's kind of hard to know. It actually turned out to be just a threat. But nonetheless, the bottom line is it worked. It worked. They threatened them, and it caused discouragement. And like I said, Paul had a lot of that from the Jews. And threats can be really, really difficult to overcome. Lots of discouragement. Somebody threatening you? Maybe it's just a threat of failure. It can cause discouragement. It really can. Let's look at a third cause of discouragement. Fatigue. Verse 10, just the first part. Says, thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. They were only half done at this point. It's not the time to get tired. You're only half done. It's the same as not being, you know, might as well have not have started if you're going to stop right there. And like I said, some of these reasons are reasons why they hadn't built the wall prior to this. Watch yourself. Listen, when you get tired, because discouragement is not far away. And it's not just the physical tiredness, because physical tiredness, I mean, what? You go out and eat and get some sleep and wake up the next day and hit it hard. I mean, if that's all that it is, but it's the emotional tiredness, that's discouragement. Watch yourself. It's interesting when fatigue sets in for these Jews is, like I said, halfway in, verse 6. And so we built the wall, and the whole wall is joined together to half its height. It's kind of the place, you know. All the gumption and the get up and go and all the energy that you had in the beginning and all the plans have gotten you to about halfway. And now all that you had before is not enough to get you over the hump, because sometimes that's the place that discouragement sets in. And when so we need to be careful when God is speaking to us. And one preacher I heard, and I agree with this and have practiced it in my life, is when God is clearly speaking to you, write it down. Write down when he did it, from what verse he did it, under what circumstances he did it, and what you felt like he was saying to you at that moment. Keep it, because you're going to need to come back to it. Here they are halfway through saying, wait a minute, did God really speak to us? Is this really something that we're supposed to be doing? I'm not really sure. And so fatigue had brought them to that place. And then here's a fourth cause of discouragement. There's five here in these verses. There's probably more. But man, these are the big guys. The fourth cause of discouragement we find here in Nehemiah is the issue of frustration. We read 10a. Let's look at the rest of 10. Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, lots of rubble, and we ourselves are unable to build the wall. You can hear in that statement, can't you? Frustration, just tiredness. And they are indeed frustrated. There is much rubble, and we ourselves are unable to build the wall. They're digging out the rubble, and as soon as they dig out an armload or a barrel load or whatever, another barrel load falls back into the hole, and it's just kind of, there's just so much issues here. If it was easily done, somebody would have done it already, but the fact is it's just hard. You ever feel that way? Project in your life, something God's led you to do. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's just something you're doing at work. I don't know. But it's almost like as much as you dig out, as more just falls back in. And maybe it's just the rubbish, not so much of work, but the rubble of life. We all have those old habits, pet sins, frustrating character traits. It's like as soon as I get one thing fixed, and it's another thing. And let me just encourage you, keep pushing. Keep digging. Keep forging ahead. The only way it's going to get done is to not give up. Be encouraged. Don't let frustration get you discouraged. And let's consider one more cause, the fifth cause, at least in our text here, of frustration. It's fear. It's maybe the biggest one. Fear. Verse 14. Nehemiah says, "When I saw their fear," that's all the people he was leading, all the people underneath him, even the leaders underneath him, he says, "I rose and spoke to the nobles and the officials," because while they were in danger, he says, when he saw their fear, he knew, hey, we're really close to this whole thing falling apart. Because right behind fear often comes discouragement. Fear is paralyzing. Paul knew what fear was in the New Testament because it threatened to discourage him in his mission. And fear is dominating. When fear comes, like I said, discouragement is not far behind. And I'm pretty certain you're familiar with the causes of discouragement. In fact, if you're sitting there discouraged today, one of these is ringing true, I bet, if not a number of these are ringing true with you. I not so much want you to know what's caused. You've got to know what the causes are, but more than anything, more importantly, we need to know what the cure is. So let's consider several cures or things we need to do in order to have the cure of discouragement and bring encouragement into our lives. And how do we fight it? Well, let's consider several things. The first thing that we see, again, straight out of our text, is that we need to go to our knees. We're in Nehemiah chapter 4. Look at verse 9. This is how Nehemiah operates all the way through, punctuated through his little book, is times that he turns very quickly and prays to God. He says, "But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night." We pray. They weren't relying just on their abilities and know-how and the plans that they had. They turned and they hit their knees. Go back. How do you overcome discouragement? Go back to the place where God spoke to you. Go back to your knees. Go back to your knees. Fight the battle from your knees. How are you going to get over discouragement? Number one, most importantly, return to your knees. Number two, return to your knees. Number two, reorganize. Look at verse 13. It says, "And then I stationed men." So he had organized them prior to chapter 4. And so now notice he's having to reorganize them now that all these threats and all this discouragement is taking place. Verse 13, "Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and the families with their swords and spears and bows." So he's now had to have a reorganization. They gotten halfway. All the organization and plans that they had up until that point got them only halfway. Now, like I said, fear has set in, discouragement has set in, other issues have come up. They have to reorganize. So he reorganizes. His first plans were not enough to get them past halfway. Here's a rule of thumb. When you hit a snag, reorganize. Reorganize. Don't think that the plans that you had and the way you were doing it is going to get you past where you are. So often we lose momentum because we become targets of the enemy. And we lose our priorities. And the way we get back to those priorities is by reorganization. So number one, hit your knees. Number two, reorganize. Number three, remember. Remember. Notice verse 14. "When I saw their fear, I arose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. remember, notice what he says here, the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. He says, remember, the Lord is sufficient to accomplish absolutely anything through us. Do you remember that? Have you forgotten that? Let me just say this very clearly. If you're discouraged, you have. You've forgotten it. You need to be reminded. So how often do I need to be reminded? As often as you need to. Every single day and multiple times throughout the day. Whatever it takes, remind yourself who the Lord is and what his attributes are. Read the great stories of the men and women who believed God and God accomplished through them the impossible. I love to go places like the story of David and Goliath. So encouraging. Impossible what David did fighting that Goliath, but he was a man of encouragement. He encouraged the whole army of Israel in the process. And then the story of Joseph and his mistreatment by his brothers there at the end of Genesis. Such an encouraging story. Go back to these. Go back to Daniel and his friends and how they stood against the impossible odds and refused to eat the king's food. And God blessed them because they were obedient to him. And he rose them up as they patiently did what God called them to do. And so read these stories. Be reminded of who God is. Be reminded of what he can do. Be reminded of his attributes. Because when we forget, it aid and abets our discouragement. Don't let that happen. Remember. Return to your knees, reorganize, remember, and then a final thing, resist. Verse 14, the last part, says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight. Notice, can't just stand there. Got to do something. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Discouragement is nothing more than allowing the circumstances, whether real or imagined, to make your decisions for you. You hear that? Discouragement is nothing more than allowing your circumstances to make your decisions for you. You don't want that. I don't want that. God doesn't want that. Don't let your circumstances make your decisions. Let God make your decisions for you. And then based upon what God is leading you to do, say, yes, amen, I'm going to do them. And don't let anything stop you. Resist. James chapter 4. We still have one more verse here to put on our screen. James chapter 4. Verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. You got to resist him. It's not just enough, okay, I've submitted to God, yeah, I've hit my knees, and I've been reminded who God is, and that's so important. Now, take up arms, fight, don't quit, don't give up. Keep pushing, keep fighting, keep moving, keep digging, keep doing whatever it is that God has called you with the place that he's placed you in. Don't quit. Don't give up. I want to read you a little poem, kind of cute, but it sort of underscores all that we've been talking about today and puts a punctuation mark on all of it. At least it does for me. So listen to what this says. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul. But the other took the gloomy view. We shall drown, he cried, without more ado. So with a last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and said goodbye. Quoth the other frog with a merry grin, If I cannot get out, I won't give in. I'll just swim round till my strength is spent, and then if I die, well, I will die content, he said. Bravely he swam until it would seem that his struggles began to churn the cream. On top of the butter, at last he hopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. And what of the moral? 'Tis easily found. Listen, if you can't hop out, keep swimming around. I mean, God opens doors when he opens doors. God fixes stuff when he fixes it. Our job is not to fix stuff and open doors, but to continue to do what God's called us to do until those doors open, until change comes, not allowing ourselves to be discouraged, putting one foot in front of another, continuing to fight, continuing to be what God has called us to be. Don't let the circumstances of COVID or the election or whatever it is getting at you Don't let the circumstances make your decisions for you. You let God make those decisions, and then you follow Him with commitment, resolutely. God will give you strength to do that. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the encouragement of your word, the encouragement to see, first of all, at least for me, just these men and women who are just regular people, but who did irregular, even supernatural things because you were in them, you were with them, you enabled them, you called them, you empowered them. So it's encouraging me to see that, because you're the same God today, calling the same kind of incomplete people that you had then, you still have today. God, I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that we would take these tools that show us how to turn around, make a difference, continuing to fight, continuing to go, and knowing that you're going to give us the strength to do those things. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for this Bible study, God. I pray you continue to bless it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.